You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with yet another NFL quarterback drama. Is Russell Wilson on his way out of Seattle? We've got the latest. Plus, Deshaun digs in, makes it clear he wants out. So the ball is in Houston's court. What do they do going forward? And the Wentz Whisperer speaks, and fans of every team in the AFC should be paying close attention. You'll hear what he had to say as we get up with you, starting right now on a Football Friday in an offseason that just keeps on giving. I am Greeny, and we are jammed. We will have Hoops with Kendrick Perkins coming up shortly. Dan Orlovsky will jump in and join this crew that we have put together to talk football on this morning. Jeremy Fowler's got the insight. Bart Scott can't wait. And you never know what Team Ninko might be lobbying for today as we figure out what comes next for Russell Wilson. The huge news of yesterday, Wilson's agent telling our Adam Schefter that his client wants to stay with the Seahawks, but that if trade talks happen, he'd only consider four teams, the Bears, the Raiders, the Saints, and the Cowboys. So we're that deep into this. Here's Schefter from NFL Live.
While he's not demanding a trade, he's leaving open the idea of a trade, and even that gets the mind going and gets the attention of executives across the league. And I can tell you that those teams should be figuring out what it would take to get a deal done for a future Hall of Fame quarterback to bring in there. Even if they don't get divorced now, it certainly seems that at some point in the future that they're headed that way. It may not be this offseason, it may be a year from now, but at some point it seems like these two sides are destined to go their own ways.
It's just unbelievable that this is where we are. And we were saying in the meeting this morning that the marriage may not be over, but if you were married and you have a list of four people that you would marry subsequently if this marriage should break up, your marriage is in trouble. So that's where we are right now. Jeremy Fowler, fill in the details. What the actual heck is going on?
Well, Greeny, here's the latest. Russell Wilson himself, I'm told, does not expect to be traded. Those are based on indications and talks with the team. I've spoken to several people with the Seattle organization and said, look, we're planning for Russell Wilson for 2021. There's nothing going on right now. No potential trades drawn up for Wilson, but it's outside of the organization. Several high-ranking people I've spoken to believe this is an inevitability. Maybe not this offseason, but next offseason because of the growing tension that isn't right now. It's been a couple years. There were even trade talks with the Cleveland Browns a few years back about doing a potential deal when the Browns were drafting high, because Russell Wilson has grown increasingly frustrated with the lack of personnel input, particularly the investment from the team in the offensive line over the last 8 to 10 years. He's wanted more of that. He hasn't gotten it. It's resulted in some heating up moments internally with the team and the coaching staff.
It's remarkable because he is always, at least outwardly, the most team-first guy. He ends every interview conversation by saying, go Hawks. What can we tell us about the four teams here, Jeremy? The Bears, the Raiders, the Saints, and the Cowboys, because fans of a lot of those places are awfully excited this morning.
Yeah, so Russell Wilson's thinking is broader. It's big picture from what I'm told. This is a guy who wants to be in an NFL managerial position in the future, maybe even NFL ownership. So in a case like Chicago, he's not thinking in terms of their struggles on offense recently. He's thinking in terms of turning around a franchise that is historically great but has had struggles on offense for the better part of 20 years. He would love that kind of story. And then Dallas, it's a huge market. It'd be fun to play for them. New Orleans, he's thinking good play calling, an offensive mind that could expand his game. So he's really throwing a lot of different flavors out there. And that's by design from what I'm told. He wants to give himself a variety of options. This is a short list he's had for a while in his back pocket because of his no trade clause ready to go at any time.
My goodness. Bart Scott, what do we make of this?
I mean, you talk about the frustration. We call this the Tom Brady effect as well. You talk about great players that are trying to take control of their narrative. But also look within the division. I think right now I would probably place the Seahawks as the third best team within that division, with Arizona kind of vying for that third spot as well. He's been hit so many times, Green. He's sacked over 107 times in the last 4 years. His lack of input on the personnel should be frustrating. I mean, he's had a turn stop at right tackle, whether it was Chad Wheeler or Art Shell. I mean, you should know all about Art Shell being from the Jets. When can a Jet go somewhere else and start for an organization that's trying to win right now? And I think he's starting to think and understand that he has to make a move now. We don't know how much longer Pete Carroll's going to play or going to coach. And I think he's trying to figure out what his exit strategy is. When you look at his contract, it's a natural out in 2022. I think he's trying to make sure that he lands the plane and he can get to a destination where he can take control of his narrative and also his career, trying to get his second Super Bowl win.
Listen, the bottom line, and Jeremy just told us, this has been brewing for a while. It doesn't come out publicly now by accident. All right, this is happening for a reason because there are people who want this out there in the public. Rob Ninkovich, what should we think of this?
Well, I think there's definitely some issues going on behind the scenes. And look, it all probably started when they lost the Super Bowl. Let's think back to that moment when they did lose the Super Bowl on one basic play. I mean, how hard would that be every single day after that point having to answer questions based on one single play? And you could feel the tension after that. From that moment on, there was tension in that locker room. They lose the defense after that. You go and you pay Russell Wilson a ton of money. They don't have a lot of offensive line as far as protection. We've seen the sacks. You see the numbers there with how many sacks he's taken. But the one argument you can make is he has the best receiver potentially in the future that's going to be in the NFL. So with DK Metcalf on the roster, that definitely helps out Russell Wilson. So it'd be interesting, to be in his camp and say, look, I'm happy here, but yet there's four teams that I'd like to go to. That's kind of like twisting it a little bit there, because if he was happy where he's at, he would just say, yeah, I'm happy in Seattle. I'm a Seattle Seahawk. End of story. That'd be
Absolutely.
It. But no, he goes out of his way to say there's four teams that I'd like to go play for, which kind of keeps it open if you're those four teams.
Oh, no question about it. I point out two quick things. One, Rob Ninkovich was on the field for that interception in the Super Bowl. And two, Cindy, can we get the full shot quickly on Ninko? Because the man is devious. That is you sacking Russell Wilson in the Super Bowl behind you, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, look, we got Russell Wilson topics. Might as well have a Russell Wilson sack behind me. I feel like that's only the correct thing to do at this moment in time.
That is a perfect flex for this day. Now, let us tie this together with some of the other big quarterback stories. Who knew this was going to fall into our lap? Because we have been sitting and talking about other quarterback situations, including one involving Dak Prescott with the Cowboys. And I have made the point here that it is in the Cowboys' best interest at this point, because they themselves have mishandled this so badly, to seriously consider trading Dak Prescott. And you look at the numbers here. Look at these two. The comparisons are interesting. They're both star players. They're both potentially disgruntled in the situations they're in, perhaps for different reasons. But maybe the best way to make them gruntled is a trade, one for the other. So, Jeremy Fowler, let me throw that at you. Dak for Russell Wilson. Who says no?
Well, from what I'm hearing, Greeny, Dallas is unfazed by the Russell Wilson talk. They are dug in. Wick, Dak Prescott, they've gone underground. They know they've been talking about this for 2 years and that people don't believe them. This is not going to get done. So they want to finalize this with Prescott. They got till March 9th with the franchise tag. Now, there are some people around the league, Greeny, who believe they're going to tag him and then maybe trade him, because that money is just $37.7 million is just too much to overcome in a deficit salary cap year of $180 million. And so they're going to try to work it out. But Dallas is going to tag him if they don't get it done by March 9th. And then it gives them 4 months to try to hammer this out.
Why are you shaking your head, Bart Scott?
I mean, if I'm Dak Prescott, I've gone this far. If I don't get my terms, I have all the leverage. If I don't get my short contract where I can get out and hit the market again, then I'm not signing anything, because all the pressure is on Dallas. Because if they don't have Dak Prescott, who do they have behind center? What chances do they have to win? We saw that Andy Dalton is not the answer. Dak Prescott is pulling the Kirk Cousins playbook, and he's going to be a guy who came in as a fourth-round draft pick, who didn't make a lot of money, who's going to recoup all that money because he was cheap labor for a long time. He was underpaid. So now it's time for him to have the opportunity to get two bites at the apple. That's what every athlete wants, an opportunity to get two big deals. And he missed out on the first round. He's going to get one in the second and the third, just like Russell Wilson did, because he's been able to give the Dallas Cowboys a discount for the early part of his career. Now it's time for him to pay the piper.
Okay, fair enough. But let's just have some fun with it one way or the other. Ninko, just from a football standpoint, let's just assume we live in a world where they could figure out a way to make the deal work and the money work. Dak straight up for Russell Wilson. Who says no?
Dallas wins in this one. I mean, Dallas would win by far because I feel like Russell Wilson on the field right now is the better quarterback. Russell Wilson is the better quarterback. If you put Dak and Russell Wilson together, I would say 90% of the people would say I want Russell Wilson just because of his leadership, what he can do on the football field. Dak, yes, he has improved and he's a better football player. But Russell Wilson basically is your franchise. So if you traded for Russell Wilson, number one, you don't have to worry about making him the highest paid quarterback because he's already under contract. And then that whole Dak issue would just disappear and then Seattle would have to deal with that. So I think if you get a Russell Wilson, that would definitely improve your team. This is all hypothetical because it probably won't happen, but if I was Dallas, I would be winning if I got Russell Wilson.
If the Cowboys somehow managed to figure out a way to turn this complete mess they have made of the Dak Prescott situation into Russell Wilson, it would be one of the really genuinely great moves we've seen in the NFL in recent times. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. Meanwhile, the Twitter question is up there right now on my page at ESPN Greeny. Which of these teams that Russell Wilson has identified as potential destinations should be absolutely moving heaven and earth to trade from right now? Bears, Cowboys, Raiders, Saints. Cast your vote on Twitter at ESPN Greeny. We'll check in as the show continues. Meanwhile, we're not done with the quarterbacks. Because Dan Graziano is reporting that Deshaun Watson met with the new head coach of the Texans, David Culley, late last week. And in that meeting, Watson reiterated his desire to be traded and told Culley he has no plans to ever play for the Texans again. And then, as this news was breaking yesterday, Deshaun Watson went on Twitter and posted, "Loyalty is everything. Don't you ever forget it," which is interesting and tells us absolutely nothing. So, Jeremy Fowler, what? What is the latest now as far as Watson is concerned?
Well, Greeny, Watson is so dug in, I'm told, that he is willing to wait this out. I'm told there's a very real possibility that he could not show up for the preseason, not show up for the start of the regular season if he's not traded. He could incur $3-plus million of fines during that process, but he doesn't care. I'm told the relationship is simply too far gone right now. There are no other meetings scheduled with the Texans. Deshaun feels like he said what he needs to, and so he's monitoring a list of teams that he thinks could be a good fit for him. I think at this point it's an anything but Houston plan. He would take a lot of different teams to get out of there, which makes the Jets, the Miami Dolphins, others in play because of the draft capital. But watch out for the Denver Broncos. They're intriguing to him. Even the Carolina Panthers, I'm told, is a team to watch out for because he knows they'll be aggressive. They're close to his hometown of Gainesville, Georgia, have some intriguing pieces on offense.
All right, so there's a lot of different possibilities as we sit there. Bart, what are you hearing? You talk to people all over the place. What are you hearing as far as the way this Deshaun Watson thing is going to play out?
I hear both sides are dug in, Greeny, and I really expect this to be a Carson Palmer type of situation where you think Carson Palmer wanted out and the Bengals dug in until Hugh asked for him in Oakland the next year. And I think that's going to be a staring contest. I think both sides are going to be stubborn. But I don't think that Deshaun Watson should try and sit out and not come in. I think you show up and you become a malcontent. You go there and you show up to practice. And then when they say or see that they're not getting any money back because he's physically there, you can be there without being there, Greeny. I mean, he's going to have to go full Tropic Thunder. He's going to have to go there. He's going to have to, you know, play the game. You know, that's the only way you get out. You know, you look at James Harden. He showed up. He showed up in a fat man suit, and he got his wishes. Deshaun Watson is going to have to show up, not know the playbook. You know, somebody's going to be running a slant route. He's going to have to throw the ball out of bounds and make it where you can't even practice. We saw this happen with Brandon Marshall when he was taking passes from Jay Cutler, and he was batting the ball down every time the ball came there. You have to become that type of malcontent. You have to become that type of distraction. But they say, you know what? We just got to move forward because this isn't going to be beneficial. Because if you don't show up, you're giving money back. That's the last thing that you want to do, especially with the new rules underneath the CBA.
What a complete mess. Ninko, what do you think? How should this thing go from here? If you're advising any of the parties involved, how should this thing play out from here?
The Texans need to trade him, and they need to get as many first-round picks as they possibly can. And look, at the end of the day, you can't be the two alpha dogs looking at each other like, okay, who's gonna be the first one to back down? You can't do that in this particular situation. When you do that, it just makes the whole atmosphere that much more stressful. And the players that are involved in this and the other guys on that team, they can feel that as well. You feel that weirdness going on in the building. So I think if you're the Texans, You move the player. He doesn't want to be there. He said he's not going to play. He's dug in. He's not going anywhere. You just say, okay, look, at this point right now, I know he's the franchise and he's a great football player, but if we can get three number ones or four first-round picks for him, let's try and turn those into something special. Because at this point, if you don't have him report and he doesn't show up and he's, you know, throwing the ball out of bounds and saying, I don't know the plays, that just wouldn't be great for himself and everybody else on the team.
Yeah, that's a situation that everyone would love to avoid if possible. So that is where we begin today. The carousel continuing to spin. Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, and Dak Prescott are all aboard. Much more football as we continue. But now to the game of the night, and it was a good one between two young superstars last night. Pelicans and Bucks. It's Zion. It's Giannis. Fourth quarter, Pelicans are down six, but Zion is coming on strong. Look at him working inside. He was 15 of 26. They're within four. Under four to go now. Pelicans are down to one. Lonzo. Zion. Yes, he would score 34. New Orleans had the lead. Under three to go. Bucks down three. Giannis to the hole. And he gets it. It's a one-point game. Still a one-point deficit for Milwaukee. And then it's Giannis working on Steven Adams. Adams has no chance. 14 of 27 from the floor for Giannis. Bucks take the lead. Next possession. Zion blocked inside. Brook Lopez gets a piece. And now we're turning defense into offense. Here comes Giannis. No one stopping that. He would score 38. Milwaukee has the lead. Here we go, the final sequence. 15 seconds left. Pelicans are down three. Bucks inbounding, but hold on, we got trouble. Chris Middleton. Oh, the ball is stolen. Pelicans are going up the floor. Who's going to get the shot to try and tie it? We're working it around. It's Ingram. It's Hart. It's Lonzo. Nobody gets a look. Watch the shot clock run out, and they never get the look at the hole. And that is all she wrote. That's how this one ends. Giannis and Zion combined for 72 points, and the Bucks win it 129-125. Lots of respect all the way around. And there, speaking of respect, is our big fella, Kendrick Perkins, who gets up with us early this morning. Perk, watching Milwaukee get that win last night and sort of looking at the standings as we head into this weekend, there are three big teams in the East right now with Milwaukee, Philly, and Brooklyn. Which two do you believe in? Who will be the last two standing in that conference?
Well, we all know the Brooklyn Nets, Green, are going to be there at the end of the day in the Eastern Conference with their big three and Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving. But guess who's going to be waiting on them at the front door? It's not going to be Giannis and the Bucks. It's going to be the city of brotherly love, the Philadelphia 76ers. Look, this team has everything that they need to make it to the finals. They have Joel Embiid, who I believe is a 270-pound Hakeem Olajuwon. They have spacing and shooting and Seth Curry and Danny Green. They are stingy on the defensive end, led by Ben Simmons, who I believe is the front runner for Defensive Player of the Year. He had Luka in a straitjacket last night, and they have depth on their bench, experience in Dwight Howard. And Shake Milton is the guy that is capable of erupting for big nights. And by the way, they are well coached by my former champion coach, Doc Rivers. So they will be there waiting at the front door for the Brooklyn Nets. It will be Brooklyn and Philly in the Eastern Conference Finals, and you could book it.
Okay, excellent. There's one other thing I want to get your perspective on, because something crazy happened at the end of an NBA game last night. We'll call this I'm Sorry What. This is Denver, Washington, okay? I want you to look at the situation in the game. Denver has the ball down two with 5 seconds left. That's Jamal Murray. This is a four-on-one break to tie it. Murray pulls up, and look where everyone is standing. No one is running to the basket for what would be an uncontested layup or dunk. They wind up getting off that three, which isn't even close, and they lose on that deuce. Kendrick Perkins, help me. What in the world happened there?
Well, Greeny, I'm sorry, but I can't help you. I'm just as confused as you. But welcome to this new generation, and I blame the analytics. If you look at it right now. You have your $30 million player in Jamal Murray that's leading the break. Look at the spacing right here. Everyone is allergic to the paint for some reason because that's what they be taught in practice. And here it is. You're down 2 points, and you pass it to an undrafted rookie to go for the dagger for a three? Give me a break. Look, the Denver Nuggets had nightmares last night about two things, that play and Bradley Beal. That was just pathetic.
Beal is leading the league in scoring. But that's the point, is that these guys in practice, because through the majority of the game, that's what you're doing on a break now. 4-on-1, is it the right thing to do at any stage of the game? Obviously, at that stage of the game, it's ludicrous. But I'm asking you, Kendrick Perkins, at any point in the game, is it the right thing to do on a 4-on-1 break to pull up from three?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Greeny, you and I are from the old school, and I know you're a little older than me, but I have an old soul. I was taught to run the gap, fill the lanes, and get the easy basket. The easy basket is going to the basket and getting a layup. Force an overtime. Give yourself an extra 5 minutes to win the game. But Greeny, welcome to the new generation of basketball, three-point shooting. You could thank the analytics for this.
I'm with you. They had a 100% shot underneath the basket, right? The efficiency can't get higher than that. That's a crazy finish. Big Perk, have a great weekend. Good to see you, my man. Thanks
too,
always
Frank.
For getting up. We'll check in soon. As we continue, how much cash is too much cash for Dak? Why one of our crew says the Cowboys could make a huge mistake. And while he couldn't officially say his name, Colts head coach Frank Reich had a lot to say about fixing Carson Wentz. You'll hear it as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and we're going to show you this just because I want you to see it. Take a look at this crazy ice skating dunk going downhill. I can't get enough of this. And the flush. I just wanted you to see. He's a Raptors fan, and he's dunking on a whole other level. Coming up, did one big mistake at the end of the Super Bowl get us to this point with Russell Wilson? We'll answer that question and more. Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up, and on a day where Russell Wilson is very much in the news, we take you back to where it all may have begun, the very end of Super Bowl 49. Russell Wilson throwing what I suppose is the most famous interception in Super Bowl history. Malcolm Butler picks it off, and nothing has ever been the same again, it would seem. The Patriots win the Super Bowl. The Seahawks have not been back. Rob Ninkovich, who is with us today, was on the field for that play. But it has felt like, and you see the date there. I mean, we're going back 6 years now. But on some level, Jeremy Fowler, it feels like everything has just never been quite fine in Seattle since that moment. There were all the questions about whether they should have just given the ball to Beast Mode, whatever the relationships were there, all the issues on the relationships with the defense and the Legion of Boom, all of whom are gone now, and it's become Russell's team. Pete Carroll obviously in the mix. But it has felt from that moment forward like all has not been just fine in Seattle.
Well, Greeny, it's quite simple. Russell Wilson believes that Seattle should be back in the Super Bowl. And since that's not happening, he's trying to provide input to the personnel department, to Coach Pete Carroll, to help make that happen. He has ideas. He feels like those ideas are being met with, okay, that's nice, but maybe a little resistance. So here we are. That's why he went public with his frustrations. And it boiled over in November. There was a meeting with the team and coaches and Russell Wilson, and he wanted input. It didn't go the way he liked, so he stormed out of the room. That was a true story that was reported in The Athletic. And so I'm told that Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson are still on very good terms. Pete Carroll is hearing Russell Wilson's frustrations, particularly with the offensive line. He understands they want to upgrade in spots there where they can. So they feel like it's still salvageable, but it could be inevitable that these parties part one day.
Bart, what is your sense of the dynamics of the relationships there?
I mean, listen, we see, the situation in Houston is very similar. You're not respecting my football acumen. You're not respecting the fact that I'm one of the best players in the league, that I know what I need to be successful. We watched Terrific Tom go down there and say, you know what? I need a receiver. Well, no, but we already got Chris Godwin and Edwards. No, I want Antonio Brown. Okay, well, I have OJ the Juice Man and Cameron Brake. I want Grump. Yeah, but we got two great tight ends. No. Okay. So if I'm Russell Wilson, I'm saying, when do I get my input about what I need? Nobody knows my game and what I need to be successful better than me. So you're not, if I haven't proven to you that I'm a great football player, that I'm a guy that can think the game as well, then you have to respect my football acumen. And if you don't, then we have an issue here because you think I'm just a player that should just go out and play football and not be able to have input on what I think will be successful and make me successful. So now we have a real problem. So of course I'm going to storm out because you're not respecting me as a man. You're not respecting my football acumen. And when you don't respect my football acumen, then we have a real, real issue because I know this game probably better than you because I've seen it from the behind the eyes of a face mask. You have it.
Yeah, so there's that dynamic between Wilson maybe and the organization. And then, Nico, you were making an interesting point this morning about the way that all the relationships will be strained when there is a moment like that one that we began there. Again, you were on the field for that interception that changed absolutely everything for two franchises and a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, listen, after that game, what was the narrative of that? That every single player on that team was being asked, well, why didn't they run the football? You have Marshawn Lynch, who had rushed for touchdowns in that game, and we had a hard time stopping him. So when you look at that play in particular, and you see, I guess, the whole team watch that play on the sideline and basically just fall over and fall down because they were realizing the actuality that they lost the football game off an interception. So, I mean, that probably did a lot of damage within that locker room. The coaching staff, the quarterback, everybody was questioning that particular play. I wasn't. I was very happy with that play selection.
I could imagine that you were. Go ahead, Bart.
Yeah. Well, Nico, I've always wanted to ask you this because I said that was the correct play call because as I look at that, only a few people will know, like me and you, that you guys were in cover zero, correct?
Yeah. Yep.
So that means that you have more than they can block. Right, so it was a legal pick route, which is the right play. So everybody on that team could be upset but Russell Wilson because they decided to put the ball in his hands and not Marshawn Lynch's hands. And usually a legal pick play works 1,000% of the time. So when people always say, hey, you should have had a hand of the ball off the Beast Mode, yes. But Beast Mode probably had a guy stopped for a loss. Yes, because you have an unblockable player that can't get blocked, that can hit you in the backfield. So so for Russell Wilson to be upset about that play, he shouldn't be because they believed in him. And it was just a great play by the right time.
So I think that in order to wrap this up, there's only one way to appropriately do it. Rob Ninkovich, again, the pride of Joliet, Illinois. Russell Wilson has named the Chicago Bears as one of the teams he might go to. The Bears have been in existence since 1920 and have never had a quarterback throw for 4,000 yards in a season. What do you think Russell Wilson's addition would mean in Chicago?
All right, Grinny, let me get in character real quick for you, okay? I'm sitting here in the city of broad shoulders, Chi-Town, Chicago, the Windy City, where definitely we would love to have Russell Wilson. You think about Russell Wilson, what he could bring to Chicago, bring to the Bears. We would win the Super Bowl every single year. Think back to this. I woke up this morning, and I had myself a dozen egg omelet with Polish sausage inside. It was the best thing, grilled onions, everything. I was happy. Then I turned on Get Up. I heard that Russell Wilson wanted to be a Chicago Bear. And guess what? I almost fell over with a heart attack because of how excited I was. February 6th, 2022, the super fans and the Bears fans will be in L.A. They'll be grilling the Polish sausages. They'll replace the smog with the sweet smell of Polish sausage and bratwurst because the Bears are going to win a Super Bowl 70-3.
I, for one, cannot get enough of it. I hope it happens, if only so we can do this every Friday next season. Okay, let's get to another one of these quarterback dramas. I was going to call it a mini drama. This one is more of a maxi drama. The wait continuing for Dallas and Dak. If a deal can't get completed, the Cowboys have till March 9th to decide whether they're going to franchise tag him or not. And yesterday on this program, Dan Orlovsky sort of set it off with these thoughts on the contract situation.
Do not pay good players great player money. Dak Prescott is a good player. If the Cowboys pay him $40 million a year, it would be a grave mistake. They need to look at a situation like the Rams or like the Philadelphia Eagles and go, uh-oh, can we learn from maybe paying a guy too much money? Dak Prescott deserves good player money.
So there's so many things about that to unpack. Let's just start with it in principle. Rob Ninkovich, is Dak Prescott a good player? And that may sound like a compliment, but obviously in this context, it isn't really. Is that how you see it?
He's a good that one hurts me a little bit because he's a good, great player. He's a great player, but you can't if you overpay a good player, sometimes you could be in a bad spot. So I feel like he's above a good player. Is he elite? I don't think he's necessarily elite yet. I think he's a great player. I think he's above a good player. He's not an elite player. He's a great player. I think good is a little bit less than where I would rank him as far as a quarterback. And as money is concerned, I know he wants to be the highest paid quarterback. I would probably have a hard time paying him more than Patrick Mahomes, but I'm sure that's what he wants.
And it may be where he winds up. And so, Bart, again, Dan Orlovsky will be with us for the second hour of the show today, so he'll be here and part of this conversation in about 25 minutes. But just in general, Bart, what'd you think?
I mean, I think that's a bad take by Dan, because if you think about it, you know, the Dallas Cowboys had a rollback, easy button, Walmart price type of discount. Russell, you know, you think about Dak Prescott in his first 4 years, he only made under $5 million. Even with the fact that he got franchise tag, that only brings his total up to $7 million. And even if they give him the franchise tag for $37 million, that only brings his career average to $12 million. We will all agree that he worked more than that. So he's trying to recoup the money. It's not his fault that the organization has been bad in building around him while he was cheap labor. Now it's time for them to cash in. The invoice is due. It's like when that credit card bill is due on the first and you spent all this money. It's time for you to pay up. You know, they paid a good player bum money for the first 4 years of his career, where he only made over $2 million once. So, of course, they have to pay up. They had an opportunity to build and pay everybody else around him and secure and lock them up. Now it's his turn to get a bite at the apple.
And then Jeremy Fowler, here's the other side of this, which is that it doesn't make any difference how good or bad you think he is. You have to franchise tag him if you want to assure yourself of keeping him. So $37.8 million, it seems to me, is where the conversation begins. There's no reason for him to even consider anything below that. So you can want whatever you want, but that's the reality.
Well, Granny, here's why they're close. They offered a five-year deal last year that was around $175 million. Most of that was guaranteed. A pretty good deal that many around the league believe Dak probably should have taken. So they did get close. Dak knew he had this big franchise number coming, and so he's holding out for the right value. But at least they have a benchmark to work off of. But we were mentioning good, not great players. I think that's part of the issue here, because you ask around the league, Dak's considered probably 9th or 10th in the quarterback pantheon. So if this was Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, this might be done already.
I'm just 5 years into 175 is $35 million a year. Even that, at least in the moment, would be below what he is scheduled to get paid this year on the franchise tag. Obviously, there are other factors in that as well. Dan will join us as the show continues. We'll talk with him about it. Meanwhile, remind you, you can tip off your weekend tonight with a great NBA Friday doubleheader. You got the Pacers and the Celtics. Both teams need wins in that Eastern Conference. And then out west we go. LeBron and the Lakers. Talk about needing wins. They've been struggling, and they're taking on Dame and the Trailblazers. All the action starts tonight with NBA Countdown, 7 Eastern on ESPN. Coming up here, the Wentz Whisperer speaks. And fans of every team in the AFC should be paying close attention. You will hear it coming up next. And want to make sure you know that today on First Take, Zion Live with Stephen A. Max and Molly at Zion Live, 10:15 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back on Get Up, and let us run the hurry up Jeremy Fowler through a bunch of NFL notes, beginning with J.J. Watt.
Well, Greeny, Watt, I'm told, has narrowed down his field to serious contenders only. It started with a dozen or more teams. It's down to a more sizable number. I believe the Buffalo Bills is a team that Watt is considering. There are some others that you think would be involved, like the Steelers and Packers. They've been on the fringe, but I don't know if they can make it happen from a cash standpoint. So he should make a decision fairly soon. Now let's go to Marcus Mariota. His trade market is the next domino to fall in the quarterback carousel. That's according to many people around the league. They're expecting this to pop at some point, and multiple teams are monitoring. I do believe Washington is combing that mid-tier market like this. I think they've at least made a phone call, but part of the hang-up is he's got a contract that could pay him up to $20 million this year if he's a starter, plays the full year. The teams are sort of waiting this out, see if he gets released. Now let's go to Ben Roethlisberger. The Steelers are still trying to hammer out a reworked contract now that he's returning for what could be his final season in 2021. Pretty straightforward process. He's got a $41 million cap hit. They can give him a sort of dummy extension, create some future voidable years to kick that salary cap down the can, give him another $14 million in cap space. But they could still ask him to take a salary pay cut if they feel like Roethlisberger is willing. It's uncertain if he's going to go that far, but they still have to hash out those details. Should be pretty close, though.
Yeah, the most important pieces of that seem to be the team wants him back. He wants to be back. It seems logical to assume they'll figure out a way to make that happen. All right, excellent. Meanwhile, there's the other quarterback situation, well, formerly of the state of Pennsylvania. Because a trade to acquire Carson Wentz won't be official until the start of the league year, Colts head coach Frank Reich cannot specifically talk about him. But when Reich was asked about how to build up confidence in a quarterback, there was no mystery who he was talking about.
Getting good quarterback play is something that is necessary to win a world championship. And obviously here in this organization, the standard has been set. We need to continue to have that kind of play, and everybody loses confidence for a moment. One of the ways to build confidence back is you go back to the basics and you build it one play at a time.
I find this part of it the most fascinating of anything, the psychological piece of it, because Rob Ninkovich, at times last year, Carson Wentz looked like he was almost like a broken man, like almost he was defeated out there for a variety of reasons. So in your experience as an athlete, how do you build that back? How do you put that back together again?
Well, first off, I'd say, look, let's take that number 11 and let's restart this thing. Let's start with a brand new number. Come out here. Indianapolis, you don't need to be number 11. You don't need that number. That's old Wentz. You don't need that. Let's go get yourself a new number. Let's restart this thing one play at a time, just like Coach said. You have to restart from the ground up. And you can't say, okay, we're going to just right into the playoffs. Here we go. You're going to be right into your old self of 2017. That's not the way it works, especially after having injuries. And you look at a baseball player with the yips. Sometimes they can't even throw the baseball down the field. So having that confidence as an athlete, that is major. You think about a golfer that has the shanks and they can't hit the ball down the fairway, or a pitcher that can't throw. It happens to athletes. So how do you get that back? Well, number one, having the support of your coaches, which is really going to help. Having Frank as your head coach that you've had in the past can definitely help get you back on track. And that relationship, you see it just in that embrace right there. Having a great relationship with your head coach brings you confidence as a football player. When you know that that coach stood on the table for you, he wants you there as your quarterback, as the starting quarterback, it helps bring confidence into you automatically. So for him to get that back, starts with the head coach, starts day one, change the number. I think number 11 should be put to bed.
Bart, what do you think? You look skeptical. What is with the face?
Man, if I'm Carson Wentz, I'm walking in the door, I'm kicking it in, I'm saying, hey, young punk, Pittman, run me my number, man. Get out of here. I got DNA, I got blood in the soil sitting in here in this league. There's no way that you're running my number. That's where it starts. Then I'm saying, listen, athletes are some of the most narcissistic people in the world. The last person that Carson Wentz is blaming is himself. Because really, it was the organization, the Philadelphia Eagles organization, that let him down. Listen, the fact that the Philadelphia Eagles are still in the running for trying to go get Jamar Chase means that they missed on their draft pick in Jalen Reagor the year before. Deshaun Jackson was injured. Zach Ertz was injured. Alshon Jeffries was on the end of his career and slowing down. So it's not about Carson Wentz. Anybody's going to look like a mere mortal. We saw Patrick Mahomes having to put every trick he had in his pocket to try and stay afloat. This is a player that was sacked 50 times. And everybody's going to say, well, 50 times, that was his fault. He's holding on to the football. Well, the mobile quarterback that got in and Jalen Hurts got in, and in four games, he got sacked 13 times. It's great to have protection. It's great to have insurance, right? And he's going to have that with that great offensive line, and he's going to have the opportunity to show everybody that it was more about the Eagles and their lack of personnel around him than it was about him and his inability to play the position. He's a stud, and he's going to take this team and make him a true Super Bowl contender.
You can write that down, Green. Both sides of it. I mean, and it'll be interesting to see which side he takes of it. Ninko, give me quickie. Go ahead.
Well, the players don't own the numbers. They rent the numbers. There's going to be another number eventually that comes in there. And the Colts were ranked 12th in pass protection, just behind the Philadelphia Eagles. So you say great pass protection. The Eagles were 11th. The Colts were 12th.
Okay, we'll leave it there for the moment.
He's a little bit more mobile than Phillip Rivers.
He's a good deal more mobile than Phillip Rivers. Then again, so am I, but that's a different topic for a different time. All right, meanwhile, on planet Earth, we've gotten a lot of mileage out of this week. On the I Am Athlete podcast, Cam Newton said of Bill Belichick, quote, "I think Bill Belichick is the most misunderstood person in all of sports. He is dope as blank." Now, we have asked pretty much everyone on our show their thoughts on this all week. But I've been waiting all week, Ninko, for you, because you're the only one I've got who played for him and for a long time. So what is the dopest thing you ever saw Bill Belichick do?
The dopest thing, probably after a massive beatdown we put on Tennessee, I think it was like 59-0. They didn't even score. Bill was very happy about that outcome. And it happened to snow in that game. I'm walking out to my car, and all of a sudden you have incoming snowballs, like, and it's Bill Belichick, you know, making snowballs, having a good time. So that was pretty fun. But I'd say in general, just his coaching career and the way that he's able to lead a football team is pretty dope. And Bill in general, again, like I said, he's not like everyone sees in the media when he's doing his interviews. I mean, he has fun. Guys laugh, cut it up with him. And you have to be inside that locker room to really experience what Bill Belichick really is as a person. So in the media, it's really hard to evaluate his post-game when he's talking to the media. That's not Bill Belichick. That's just a part of him when he's a football coach.
I feel the need to continue to explain that video that you saw was Bill Belichick dressed as a pirate at a rollerblading party for Randy Moss around Halloween time. I feel the need to explain it because otherwise you might be wondering, what the hell is Bill Belichick doing in this? That was the dopest thing that we could find. All right, let me run the floor through some of the college basketball action last night. Gonzaga, number one in the country, challenged in the first half by Santa Clara, but ultimately stayed perfect, 89-75. Gonzaga stays unbeaten, the 27th straight win dating back to last year. In the Big Ten last night, a game you saw on ESPN, Luka Garza, number 9 Iowa, visiting number 3 Michigan, and it was all Wolverines. They dominate with a 22-point win. They're the 6th team in Big Ten history with 3 20-point wins over ranked opponents prior to the tournament. They look real good. And then another big game in the Big Ten last night, Aaron Henry had 18. Michigan State knocking off Ohio State in a huge win, for the Spartans, 71-67. They need wins to try and get themselves into the tournament. It came 2 days after Tom Izzo, that team beat number 5 Illinois by 9 points. So they are making a late run. And then this note here, how important is it to be a one seed? Well, a one seed has won the title each of the last 3 and 4 of the last 5 years. Since seeding began in 1979, 23 national champs have been won by a one seed, and that does not include 2013 Louisville, whose title was later vacated. So they don't count it, but I do. Tomorrow, our full day of college basketball across all our networks is highlighted by these two matchups on ESPN. Illinois-Wisconsin's a great one at 2 Eastern, followed by Florida State and North Carolina. Great college hoops tomorrow on ESPN. Coming up, the latest on the storm brewing between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. We'll tell you which one of his preferred destinations is the best spot. And Dan Orlovsky joins the party. Get up on ESPN.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.